Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, and as we keep mentioning, it's a 26-volume set of sermons given by Latter-day Saint leaders during the late 19th century. Most of the sermons that you will find in the journal are by Brigham Young, and we're looking at various topics, giving you a little bit of a peek into what life was probably like living in 19th century Utah, when the Mormon Church, I would have to say the leadership, Eric, were probably much more blunt in what they said, certainly much more blunt than we find the 21st century Mormon Church.
Would have made our job a lot easier had they been like that today.
Absolutely. Now, in this subject that we're going to tackle in the next few days is the subject of plural marriage, the subject of polygamy. And as you can imagine, spokesmen back in the 19th century, when polygamy was really at its height, really defended polygamy vehemently. It's amazing when you go back and you look at some of the statements they made and some of the derogatory comments they even make against monogamy. But one thing for sure, the reason why the 19th century Mormon leaders felt that polygamy was a godly principle is because they felt that it went clear back to the beginning. And not only that, but that the Lord himself instituted this. So we're going to look at some of the statements that support that premise. One of them is found in Volume 9, page 322, and this is Brigham Young speaking. What did he say?
He said, "Why do we believe in and practice polygamy? Because the Lord introduced it to his servants as in a revelation given to Joseph Smith, and the Lord's servants have always practiced it. And is that religion popular in heaven? It is the only popular religion there, for this is the religion of Abraham, and unless we do the works of Abraham, we are not Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise."
So here he is basically, and we're going to talk about this in another broadcast, but it sounds like he's making the practice of plural marriage actually a salvific issue. Mm-hmm. If you don't practice it, you're not going to see exaltation. And that's not an uncommon theme when we look at the 19th century speeches given by Mormon leaders. He said something very similar to that in Volume 11. What does he say? He said this in 1865, June 18th, 1865, on page 128, Volume 11.
He said, "Polygamy did not have its origin with Joseph Smith, but it existed from the beginning. So far as I am concerned as an individual, I did not ask for it. I never desired it. And if I ever had a trial of my faith in this world, it was when Joseph Smith revealed that doctrine to me, and I had to pray incessantly and exercise faith before the Lord until he revealed to me the truth, and I was satisfied." That's Brigham Young.
And we'd have to say that if Brigham Young had a struggle with it in the beginning, looking at his life, he certainly got over it rather quickly. So there's no doubt about that. But you raise a good point. Where did this really begin? And there's even some controversy in Mormon history as to when this actually came about, when it came from Joseph Smith himself. If you were to look at the Journal of Discourses in Volume 20, page 29, there is a statement from Joseph F. Smith. Joseph F. Smith would later become the sixth president of the Mormon Church. During the time he said this, it was John Taylor was the president. But he says this, he says, "To put this matter more correctly before you, I here declare that the principle of plural marriage was not first revealed on the 12th day of July, 1843. It was written for the first time on that date, but it had been revealed to the prophet many years before that, perhaps as early as 1832. Now, why does he bring that up? If you were to look at section 132 in the Doctrine and Covenants, it says in the heading, "Revelation given through Joseph Smith, the prophet, at Nauvoo, Illinois, recorded July 12, 1843. The controversy arises over, well, is that when Joseph Smith actually received the revelation, Or is that merely when he finally wrote the revelation down? If you were to look, for instance, at volume 5 in the documentary history of the church, I believe it's page 501, it actually says, Revelation on the eternity of the marriage covenant, including the plurality of wives, given through Joseph the seer in Nauvoo, Hancock County, Illinois, July 12, 1843. But there's a footnote to this. And if you go back and you'll see the footnote will take you back to the introduction. It says Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, for a treatise on the date of publication and authorship of this revelation, see introduction to this volume. And this is what it says, and this is Roman numerals. I'm going to go back to my Roman numerals from school.
Yeah, think about the Super Bowls.
Yeah, it had to be 29, okay? Two X's, an I, and an X, okay? Anyway, it says, the date in the heading of the revelation on the eternity of the marriage covenant, including the plurality of wives, notes the time at which the revelation was committed to writing, not the time at which the principles set forth in the revelation were first made known to the prophet. There is indisputable evidence that the revelation making known this marriage law was given to the prophet as early as 1831. And here in this introduction, they gave several pieces of evidence to support that. Now, they make an interesting statement here, because if you look at the 1835 Doctrine and Covenants, there's an appendix in there, it's section 109 in Roman numerals, where it actually states that the church, in light of the charges of the crime of fornication and polygamy, that the church actually believes that one man should have one woman, except in case of death, when either is at liberty to marry again. This introduction actually says that's not a revelation,
right,
even though it's in the Doctrine and Covenants. You would never know this by reading the actual text. It doesn't really say it's not a revelation. But what it does say here in the introduction on page 30, it says, when the Book of Doctrine and Covenants was presented to the several quorums of the priesthood of the church for acceptance in the General Assembly of that body, the 17th of August, 1835, an article on, quote-unquote, marriage was presented by W.W. Phelps, which for many years was published in the Doctrine and Covenants. It was not a revelation, nor was it presented as such to the General Assembly of the Priesthood. It was an article, however, that represented the views of the Assembly on the subject of marriage at that time, unenlightened as they were by the revelation already given to the prophet on the subject. Now remember, we have nothing written by Joseph Smith up until this time. We don't have a revelation on this until, like it says, written in 1843. And when you read the section 132 that's found in the Doctrine and Covenants, this is the question that comes to my mind. He is asked to write down the revelation, and we are given the impression that he is writing it down word for word as it was given to him when? In 1831? How is Joseph Smith able to do that unless it's not the Lord giving him fresh inspiration at that time? Are we to really assume he's actually writing it down from memory? I think that causes a little bit of a question there.
Well, let me get this straight. I want to make sure I'm understanding, Bill. So they have to go back to 1832 or 1831 because Joseph Smith was already practicing polygamy. According to a lot of sources, he married Fanny Alger as early as 1833.
And right. And we know that Emma Smith actually caught Joseph, her husband, and Fanny rolling around in the hay. So they have to make it go back to the early 1830s. Because if he didn't have any such revelation on that until 1843, he is most clearly practicing adultery.
And he's a fornicator then.
And that would be problematic for many Latter-day Saints. Although there's a lot of Joseph Smith's sexual activity that causes problems for Latter-day Saints, one of which being the fact that, as we've mentioned before, we know that he was married to at least 10 women who had living husbands
at
the time.
And you need to know that he married the majority of them before this revelation. According to Todd Compton, he married most of them already.
So they have to make it go back in order to protect the quote-unquote integrity of Joseph Smith. But as I said, his sexual behavior is problematic for many Latter-day Saints when they find out what's actually going on. Why is it, and we've asked this question over and over again, why is it when it comes to Joseph Smith, that he seems to get a pass regarding his behavior. He always seems to get this kind of pass. I don't get it.
Well, how many people don't really know in the Mormon church that Joseph Smith was a polygamist? I've seen many deny that fact to me, and until they're shown, and then they say, well, that's okay. They all know Brigham Young, but they don't know Joseph Smith necessarily.
Yeah, we've had that happen many times when you bring up Brigham Young. Everybody knows that. But yeah, you're right. Joseph Smith? No, he was only married to Emma. But it's interesting how there's another gentleman by the name of Henry William Nasebit, and he's also recorded in the Journal of Discourses. This is found in volume 26, page 115, and he credits Joseph Smith with teaching that Adam actually had two wives.
Yeah, the two wives were Eve and Lilith.
Eve and Lilith. Now, if you've never heard that before, if you were to study Jewish folklore, Jewish mysticism, you would find that this name Lilith does pop up. So we have to assume that Joseph Smith must have had some kind of access to these kind of teachings in order to incorporate this in his whole scheme of things. See, here's what they have to do. They have to make it appear that somehow the Bible supports their view. And there's no doubt, folks, that you will find in the Old Testament that there are certain patriarchs that do practice polygamy or plural marriage. We never find it being a commandment. We never find it to be a salvific issue, as we're going to discuss when it comes to Mormonism. It seems like in the Old Testament, God merely tolerated plural marriage, but he never commanded it. The Mormons will take it a step further and they will say, oh no, not only did he command it, but it actually became a salvation issue. And when you look at 19th century Mormonism, that's exactly what they are trying to get across.
As somebody might be listening to us now and saying, oh, you're just pulling things out of context, I want to let people know that we do have a site, mrm.org/journalgems, with a G-E-M-S. Go and look at some of the others. We're not showing all of them, but we're not taking these guys out of context on this issue of polygamy.
And when it comes to the doctrine of polygamy, as we've said before, not only will they tell you about Old Testament examples, but they will even try and tell you that Jesus himself was a practicing polygamist, therefore justifying their 19th century practice of polygamy.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.